We all knew one of the biggest things the Pittsburgh Steelers needed to fix in this offseason was the run defense. Well, there wasn't a whole lot of added to that in the NFL draft. There was a move made in free agency, but what have the Steelers done, and is it enough that the run defense will be significantly fixed in 2022? We'll talk about that here on the Locked On Steelers podcast. I'm your host, Chris Carter. Joining me today is Wes Euler of Steeler Nation Radio. Let's get into it.
You are Locked On Steelers, your daily Pittsburgh Steelers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And welcome to the Locked On Steelers podcast. I'm your host, Chris Carter, bringing you your daily dose of all things of the Pittsburgh Steelers. As always, you can find this show on Apple, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Odyssey, and YouTube. If you're watching this video on YouTube, hit the like button. If you're enjoying it, hit the subscribe button to our YouTube channel to get all of our daily Monday through Friday episodes, our breaking news updates, and our bonus episodes that come out from time to time. If you want to help out the show even further, go on Apple Podcasts, leave us a five-star review with a positive comment. Do both at the same time, and you get a shout-out at the end of the show. We thank you for making the Locked On Steelers podcast your first listen every day. Joining me, as I said earlier, is our man, Wes Euler. You hear him on Steeler Nation Radio all the time. You hear him and see him on the Ears and Beers podcast for West Virginia fans. Wes, how you doing, man?
What's up, cousin? I mean, I guess I'm doing better than you because I'm not, you know, recovering from COVID. So I got that going for me.
Well, we're all Pittsburghers suffering the Penguins being bounced out the playoffs. So
that was not a fun
thing to watch Sunday night. But let's talk some Steelers. And I want to talk with you about the run defense, because this was something that was talked about a lot coming out of this past season. They ranked dead last in run defense. I'm not even sure the last time they've even done that. I think it's the first time in the Tomlin era, maybe the first time since the Knoll era, the bad times of the Knoll era, because of course there were several great defenses in the Knoll era, but it was, here's the thing that I think about this that plays into maybe why they didn't make as aggressive moves. This, I think the Steelers see their run defense struggles as an aberration, as more of a something that was here and is going to be gone. Once their players are back and healthy, they recognized Tua was gone. They recognized Lualu was gone. They recognized Devin Bush wasn't the same, and that he really didn't have the adequate help next to him to help him at the linebacker position. So here they are. Stephon Tua might be back. Tyson Alulu might be back, and they've added Miles Jack, and Devin Bush might be better because he's going to be fully healthy. But was that enough, or is that like kind of like hoping on their part that, hey, things will just work out and they'll be back to normal?
I'd say it's cautious optimism. I mean, it's going to be, Chris, we're not going to know the answer to this. It's going to be one of those complete or incomplete assignment things until we know, one, is Tyson Alualu completely recovered at his age? Does he still, you know, return to the form that we saw before his injury last year that caused him to miss the whole year? You feel better at least that injury came early in the season and he will have a full calendar year, more than a full calendar year to recover. To it though, I mean, it's a guessing game at this point, right? Mm-hmm. Now, if you tell me those guys are back, those guys are healthy, and maybe not even Stephon Tuitt is, you know, the dominant guy that we saw at times in 2019 and 2020, but that he's good, he's adequate, he's serviceable, I think the run defense will be much better. Fixed, will it be fixed, right? I guess that depends on where you set those goalposts at. But I think realistically, it's going to be really tough to go from the 32nd out of 32 teams run defense in the NFL dead last to top 10. I mean, that would be a substantial jump. But if you can go from 32 to 16, if you can go from 32 to 12, you know, that's where you need to be. It doesn't even necessarily need to be an elite run-stopping defense, because we know every year this team's able to get after the quarterback. They've got an elite pass rush every single year. They've led the league in sacks for five straight seasons. So to me, if the run defense can just be average, that's a win. That's a huge win, because we know, again, you'll always be able to get after the quarterback, but there's a lot of unknown there. Alualu and his health and his age. Stephon Tuitt and his health and his status. What does Miles Jack bring to the defense? Does Devin Bush look better and improved with hopefully an upgraded defensive line in front of him? You know, what can some of the other contributors like Adams and Loudermilk and DeMarvin Leal, what can these guys all bring to the table? There's again, reason for cautious optimism that these things could work out and the run defense could be improved. But I also think too, it's an incomplete assignment. It's going to be hard to forecast. It's going to be hard to know until we just, you know, see it play out starting on September 11th in Cincinnati.
It will be hard to see play out. And you bring up a good point. Jumping back up to top 10 would be otherworldly. And again, it's why I think that the Steelers, if they're able to get even close to that, it makes them a lot more of a competitive team. Because, you know, we talked about all the team's weaknesses last year. Their passing offense wasn't great. Their rushing offense wasn't great. They had playmakers who kind of made things salvageable there, and they had no rushing defense. Their biggest thing last year was that they created turnovers. They got after the quarterback, and they were timely on offense at times in certain games. But if you were able to make it bring back a strong run defense, and again, maybe not even top 10, but if you go even 2020, they were the 11th ranked run defense.
It's sad for that right now.
Exactly. Or even 2019, they were the 14th ranked run defense.
Sign up for that right now.
And really, they were third in yards per carry. Is just they were 14th because everybody was running the ball on them in 2019 because they were like, you got Devin Hodges. We're not scared of you. We're gonna run the ball over the place. But in 2018, the last time that I think Ben Roethlisberger was at his Ben Roethlisberger-iest, I try to make a word there. The last time they were sixth against the run. And I'm not saying that Kenny Pickett or Mitch Trubisky or someone else or whoever's the quarterback is going to make it to that standard to make things back to there. But to me, I think the Steelers are looking at this situation like, hey, like you said, cautious optimism that, hey, you know what? When Devin Bush was healthy, he was a major factor. Like when they faced Saquon Barkley back in the season opener of 2020, and they held him, I think, to the lowest amount of yards ever for a player who ran the ball like 12 times or however many times that Saquon Barkley had run the ball that game. And I mean, like, not just Saquon Barkley, but ever for any running back who would run that many times in the game was the fewest amount of yards allowed in a single game. And a lot of that was because Devin Bush was covering sideline to sideline. The defensive front was full in action and working, and everything was clicking. Again, I think that they know that they still have to do things better, and that's why they got Miles Jack. But I do wonder if them getting back to being even just top half of the league, if they get above 16, if they can get into the mid-teens to like just outside the top 10, they get there, it changes a lot about what this defense can be about.
Yeah, I mean, that's where you need to be. Chris, we'd all love them to be in the 13-9 range. I mean, we would all love, that would be the sweet spot. But if you can just get to 15, 16, that's, again, because when you combine, this team's led, like, I keep coming back to this. When you're as lethal as the Steelers are at getting after the quarterback, you just need to be average at stopping the run. Because 5 straight years, the Steelers have led the league in sacks, and they've done it a lot of different ways. They've done it off of just the raw talent of guys like TJ Watt and Bud Dupree. They also, the first year when this streak started in 2017, it was Vince Williams and Mike Hilton who were leading the team. So they always find ways to get after the quarterback. If you can just have league average or slightly above league average run defense, that, Chris, is how you get the formula cooking for what we've been talking about all offseason. If you want to win double-digit games, make the playoffs comfortably, maybe even win a division title in some games in the postseason, feels like you got to be able to run the ball and you've got to be able to play really good defense, like elite defense. And that's how that part of the defensive equation comes together. You have average to above-average run defense. Everything else on your defense is above varsity level, is borderline on elite. And I think you've got a real shot then to have the type of season that you want to.
Yeah, I agree. It changes an entire different tone about how the Steelers could operate both on offense and on defense. Because again, when you're playing that way, it's opening up other opportunities. We'll talk about how that leaks into the rest of the game plan and the rest of the team and other things that might capitalize on it based off of how the Steelers have added to their roster recently. So we'll talk about that in just a minute. But first, I got to talk to you guys about Built Bars, and not just Built Bars, the new birthday cake puffs. And y'all know about the Built Puffs. The Built Puffs are the first ever protein-infused marshmallows, and they still taste amazing because they're covered in chocolate, and they're filled with the amazingness that Built Bar has to offer. Imagine dipping your finger into the plastic tub of birthday cake frosting and then opening your eyes and realizing that you only ate 150 calories, but you got 16 grams of protein. That's what it's like to eat the birthday cake puff from Built.com. When you go to Built Birthday Cake Puffs, they're now my favorite. They sent me a box of them. I've been eating them. They are great, and they are amazing. They fill you up, but they also are light on your body while giving you something that tastes amazing. I'll let you in on a little secret. It's that they cover it in white chocolate in addition to having the birthday cake mixed up inside. That's going to help it taste amazing. And again, it's going to be that white chocolate. It's 100% true, and it has sprinkles spread out all over it, just like you would birthday cake frosting. And with 150 calories, it comes with 16 grams of protein. There's only 9 grams of sugar. This is a limited time flavor and an amazing option available to you at Built.com. And just like all Built Puffs are covered with 100% real chocolate, so is this. And this is an amazing offer that you can go to Built.com right now. But again, go there fast because they're running out. So go to Built.com, use the promo code LOCKED15, and that's LOCKED15, LOCKED15, and you'll get 15% off your next order of birthday cake Built Puffs from Built.com. Back here on the Locked On Steelers podcast, I'm your host, Chris Carter, here with Wes Euler, Steeler Nation Radio. Wes, before we get back into fixing the run defense and was there enough done and how that might impact other things, we do have to address some kind of news that was made on Monday, and it was involving a former Steeler, a person who I haven't said their name on this program in quite some time. And
oh, no.
Antonio Brown.
How Wes, dare you?
Antonio Brown. I don't miss the days of when I had to say something about Antonio Brown. People were like, just stop talking about him. He's not a Pittsburgh Steeler anymore. And I'm like, listen, I get it. So I will keep this brief. Antonio Brown tweeted out, I want to retire a Pittsburgh Steeler. And then he even clarified, I don't mean play. I mean retire as a Pittsburgh Steeler. And it caused all this uproar. Wes, what are our thoughts on him wanting to retire as a Pittsburgh Steeler?
Well, one, I'm surprised that he's just like, seems like he wants to retire point blank period and doesn't want to play another year or two. But Chris, the first thing that I thought when I saw this, and you know how my cynical brain works, all right, I'm a cynical guy here. Antonio Brown has a concert in Pittsburgh this weekend.
That's all this is about.
He's playing a show on the south side of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania this weekend. So what does he do? He gets everybody in Pittsburgh to start talking about him again, because then maybe people go, oh, AB's in town. Let's go to the AB show. Yeah, Antonio. Complete business move. Complete business decision from AB. He was like, you know what? How can I sell more tickets to my Pittsburgh show? Let me put the Steelers name in my mouth on Twitter. I think it's total business booming from AB, just trying to sell some concert tickets.
Which is why we are only going to talk about that for about 2 minutes, because it's a joke. It's silly. If he wants to retire a Steeler and the Steelers want to let him, cool, have at it. It doesn't hurt. You're not going in that locker room. You're not joining the team. You're not playing. You're never wearing it as a player again. If you want to retire a Steeler, you know, hey, maybe talk to the Rooneys and Tomlin and see, you know, how they feel about that. If they want to, that's their business, and it doesn't hurt you. If they don't want to, oh well, I don't feel bad for him.
Same.
Anyways, so moving back to what we're talking about here again, when we're talking about the run defense being an important thing, I don't think people grasp how much the run defense also plays into the pass rush. And also, I don't think people grasp it, how much it made it more impressive that the Steelers led the NFL in sacks last year while having the worst rush defense. And TJ Watt tied the sack record for Michael Strahan during that time, because a big part of what has always made the Steelers pass rush from the Dick LeBeau days of 2000 back in 2004 all the way to 2022 when TJ Watt tied the record. The Steelers have always been about win on first down, then win on second down, so you could force them into predictable passing situations and you can win on third down. You can even go back to, I think it was 2014, Ryan Shazier's rookie season, and he's talking about how that's what they have to get back to doing because they were struggling against the run, and eventually they did that, and the pass rush started to come back in the next couple years. And that was part of what was changing about the Steelers football to get back to that style. That was a huge part of the 2008 Steelers defense. You weren't running against Casey Hampton and Aaron Smith and Brett Keisel and James Ferry and them. And then when it was time to throw the ball, James Harrison was coming for you. Lamar Woodley was coming for you. And then all those guys I just named were coming for you.
Mm-hmm.
The Steelers were destroying people's backfields without that advantage last year. And now they're going to, presumably, if they're able to fix it, let's say they do fix it. And again, they're not top 10 because, like, you know, back in the Casey Hampton days, they were like number one a lot of times. But let's say that they're in the 13 to 9 range, as you said. They get back into that range, those pass rushing situations come more often, more predictable, mm-hmm. and easier spots for TJ Watt and others like Alex Highsmith to be able to get after the quarterback and not worry, hey, am I getting eaten up for a draw here because it's 3rd and 4 instead of 3rd and 8 and 3rd and 9?
No, buddy, you're 100% correct. It's that whole complementary football thing that we always talk about, right? How everything works in unison. It's one ecosystem together. And if kind of one cog in the wheel is out of place, how it can affect everything else. This is a perfect example of that. It is, you're right, when you consider some of the obstacles that the Steelers have dealt with in the last couple years and how they've still been at the top of the league in terms of sacks, it is very impressive. I mean, you mentioned last year and their ability or their inability, I should say, to stop the run, but mm-hmm. still being able to get after the quarterback. I think back to 2019, right, where the Mason Rudolph and Duck year, where they had to win every game 13-9 to have a chance to win, right? Like, everybody knows, okay, like, all we have to do is control the ball. All we have to do is hold on to the football. Don't let the Steelers' defense beat us. Don't turn the ball over, and we're going to be just fine because they can't score enough points. You're still able to get after the quarterback like crazy. And those teams were hardly ever playing with a lead. That's another impressive part of this too. Particularly early and in the middle part of the season last year, Steelers defense, when were they out there with a 10-point lead in the fourth quarter? Just pinning their ears back against a quarterback who you know has to throw the ball. Like, that hasn't happened as much as it used to in the Woodley and Debo days. Mm-hmm. So, man, if those things start to happen, like you mentioned, if you start to win on 1st and 2nd down, and all of a sudden, instead of 3rd and 4, it's 3rd and 7 or 3rd and 8, that might not seem like a crazy difference to just, you know, the average sports fan. I'm telling you, it is. It makes the other offense so much more predictable. It gives you more of an opportunity to, like we always say, that proverbial pin the ears back and go get the quarterback thing. If you combine all of that on the defensive side of the football, and then again, the offensive line takes a step forward, the run game takes a step forward, you're able to play off a play action and hit some big plays. Like, that is the complementary ecosystem that you want between an offense and a defense. Keep your defense rested, let them go hunt quarterbacks, you know, keep your offense on the field, give them ample opportunity. But Chris, all those things, in terms of all those things, the two most important cogs of that, I really do believe, is you have to be able to run the football and you have to be able to stop the run. And the Steelers have had success, and I success air quotes. I guess, you know, some people argue it hasn't been success. If you go talk to a Jets or a Lions fan, they'll certainly say it has been success the last couple years. They've still been able to get after the quarterback without those things working in their favor. You start to run the ball, you control the clock, you keep your defense rested, you start to stop the run, and you get the opposition offense into more predictable scenarios. I mean, look out. TJ Watt could shatter that sack record.
And that's the crazy part about this is that, you know, we're talking about how last year, like, man, like, you think, like, TJ Watt will never get back there. TJ Watt has gotten better every single year he's been in the NFL. That is what's truly scary if you're an opponent right now. And I know some people, I mean, there's still the people at PFF that think that, oh, he's not really that good. Oh, okay, y'all been saying that for like 5 years now. And literally every year since he's been drafted, the Steelers have led the NFL in sacks. Like, that to
that's
me
not
right
a coincidence.
There. It's not a coincidence, because even his rookie year, he had 8 sacks. Like, you know, he was still a factor. Wasn't as much of a factor as he is now, but he was a major factor then. I'm not saying that TJ Watt is going to shatter the sack record if the Steelers have, you know, this really good run defense, if it can get back up to par. But I am saying it's going to cause a lot more problems for offenses when they face the Pittsburgh Steelers. And it's going to allow those opportunities. And it might not be TJ Watt who gets the major increase in sacks. It could be Alex Highsmith, who was in his third year. It could be Cam Hayward if he's better. It could be a DeMarvin Leal if he's getting more opportunities. It could be a lot of different guys. It could come from a lot of different directions. The Steelers had 7 players with multiple sacks last season.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I wouldn't be surprised if that number increased. But I want to talk about how this can also impact another part of the defense that we've talked a lot about what they could have done to increase this group, and that being secondary. But what they might be living with, because I don't think they're going to be adding any other major pieces anytime soon unless someone crazy gets cut from a team, like a Joe Haden type of situation from 2017. We'll talk about that in just a second. But first, I'm going to talk to you guys about rockauto.com. Save time and money when you visit rockauto.com. Why should you spend 30%, 50%, or even 100% more for the same parts from a chain store or a car dealership? For example, a Honda Odyssey fuel pump can be $353 if you go to the chain store. But if you go on rockauto.com, it's just $216. Rock Auto is a family-owned business serving do-it-yourselfers for over 20 years. Rock Auto's prices are reliably low for every customer. They have everything that you could need, from brake parts to tail lamps to motor oil and even new carpet. For example, we encourage y'all to go check this out and go see for your car or truck how many different auto parts they have available on rockauto.com, because they have so many that can fit any need that you have. If you don't need it right now, it's good to know that it's available. So go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. When you order something, be sure to write "Locked On" in there. How did you hear about us box, so that they know that we sent you? Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit rockauto.com today. Back here on the Locked On Steelers podcast, I'm Chris Carter. He's Wes Euler, and we're talking about how the Steelers' run defense improving, if it does improve, and how it could impact other parts of this team. And we talked about the pass rush, but also I think the secondary is a very big part of this, because again, when the pass rush is pinning their ears back, it's making life easier for that secondary. As much as we appreciated, you know, Ike Taylor for his time with the Pittsburgh Steelers, and he was a shutdown corner for several years for them. He wasn't your interceptor guy, but he was a guy who could take away a number one wide receiver. Deshae Townsend was a solid cornerback. You know, Ryan Clark was a solid free safety who could hit really hard. Troy Polamalu was the true ace of the group that kind of pulled it all together. But their jobs were that much easier because they had a really good run defense. They could get after the pass rush, and it put less pressure on them to have to guard receivers for so long, and then allowing them to break open and have to keep doing extra work and extra work and extra work in the secondary. This is a group, and we talked about it. I don't think that there's a proven CB1 in this group. Akella Witherspoon could become one. I'm not saying that he can't, but as far as a guy, there's no guy on this team who's been here for, you know, 3 years or something like that, and has been a consistent starter who can take away a number one option the way Joe Haden was when he was in his last few years with the Steelers. So when you consider that, there needs to be something done to compensate for that. And maybe this is the run defense, but if it is fixed, are they in a position to say, hey, this group as it is right now can still be the solid secondary that gets the job done in those situations? Wes, my problem is that if it does take any time to fix the run defense, I'm not sure if the Steelers secondary is the group that can hold everything together while they're waiting for that to be fixed.
No, I tell you what, that's a very interesting way that you frame that. I would tend to agree with you. I don't know if the secondary is that talented to, you know, to hold the fort down while the run game figures it out. But I don't know. Maybe you've got enough in terms of Minka and Akello and Levi Wallace and Cam Sutton and Edmonds. Like, Minka's side. Minka's an all-pro.
Minka's the star. He's the guy that said, hey, guys, I can hold this down here.
Right.
Y'all do what you do. And
I'll take care of this. You figure out everything else. Right. Yeah. And that, you know, hey, you could get by doing that. Or week one against the Bengals, maybe not. I mean, you might have heard they've got some good wide receivers and a pretty good quarterback. But, you know, week two against the Patriots, Mac Jones and those boys ain't scaring anybody through the air. Week three on a short week against the Browns, Deshaun Watson's going to be suspended. Jacoby Brissett ain't scaring anybody through the air. But ideally, both of those things would mesh very early in the season, right? That's, again, where you're cooking with fire, where you have that to border on elite defense. Because, I mean, you're absolutely right. That's how you help a secondary. It's the same thing that we were talking about with the pass rushers, right? How there's a huge difference between third and four and third and seven. It's the same way for a defensive back. Like, if it's third and three, Chris, Joe Haden has to be like, all right, well, are the Tennessee Titans going to give the ball to Derrick Henry here? Or are they going to, you know, throw it to A.J. Brown? Well, A.J. Brown's not on the Titans anymore, but you get it. If it's third and eight, Akilah Witherspoon isn't worried about defending the run on third and eight. He's right. Like, I'm focused on my guy. I'm locking him down. I got eyes on the quarterback. You're not worried about the backfield in those scenarios. And again, that's something that this secondary hasn't had very much of, or at least nearly as much as they would like to over the last year and change. So, again, I know to a lot of people, like, it might sound like, I mean, are you guys kind of reaching here? But I like, this is the entire complimentary football thing that you've been talking about, that we've been talking about, that everyone's been talking about, that you hear across football circles all the time. And it is, again, it's they're all different cogs in the wheel. And if one of those cogs snaps, if one of those cogs isn't pulling its weight or isn't shouldering its load, it puts more stress, it puts more trouble, it's more difficult for everybody else. So yeah, stopping the run game, certainly, it not only helps you get after the quarterback even more, it's a huge relief for the secondary. Because, you know, you mentioned a lot of those old-time names, Ike Taylor and Towson and Ryan Clark and Troy Polamalu. Aside from Ike Taylor, I don't think any of us would consider the rest of that Steelers secondary lockdown.
Right.
Right? Troy Polamalu, like you said, he was an ace. Troy Polamalu is one of the most unique, if not the most unique, football players to ever play the game. He's one of the best safeties ever. You could make an argument that he's the GOAT in that regard. But no one ever really considered him like Ed Reed in that, in terms of lockdown, right? Same with Ryan Clark, same with DeShay Townsend. All had their different skill sets, all good football players, but it wasn't like they were looked at like the Legion of Boom, right? Like we've got Cam Chancellor, and we've got Earl Thomas, and we've got Richard Sherman, and good Byron Murphy, and good luck throwing the ball, right?
Right.
But they were helped out in that regard so much, because all they had to do, and Ryan Clark and Troy obviously helped in the run game, but all those corners on the outside had to do, all Ike Taylor had to do, was lock his man down. He didn't have to worry about the run game because that was taken care of by the rest of the defense. That's when you can have those truly elite units. You know, one of the best 1-2-3 defenses in the entire league. And if that plays out this year for the Steelers, Chris, if that's the case, they're going to have a good chance to win double-digit games, to contend for a division title, to find themselves in the postseason once again.
And again, I'm not saying that the coverage unit, the secondary, is going to stink this year. If the run defense isn't there, they're going to be terrible. What I'm saying is that right now, the way the Steelers are composed, they need this defense to be great. If they want to be one of the real contenders in the NFL. And again, this year doesn't have to be the contender year. They just drafted a new quarterback. They're figuring out who they are after Ben Roethlisberger. But if the run defense is there, and the pass rush is there, and they're all healthy up front, and that secondary, I can see the secondary being solid and being able to make plays and be something that people can't pick at. But if the reverse happens, if the run defense isn't there, and the Steelers have to still rely on the pass rush, and the secondary is kind of just getting exposed a little bit more, I'm not saying they're going to be ripped apart, but that won't allow this group to be a great defense. They could probably be a good defense, a good enough defense that keeps them in games, but then you're taking the ball back to the offense, who you're going to have a new quarterback, whether it's Trubisky or Rudolph or Pickett. You're going to have an offensive lineman still figuring itself out, and a lot of young playmakers who are trying to build that chemistry with whoever the quarterback is in the entire unit. And that's where I'm coming at this, is that this is why the run defense is going to be so crucial, and why
I think that
the Steelers, they've made a lot of good calls over the years as far as personnel wise and when to make the right investments at the right times to keep certain units up. Maybe they've made that right call again with how they've seen things out here. But I think that it's very fair to ask if that was done enough, because if it's done, it's a major impactful move. But if it's not done enough, then it's going to put another major focus on what the Steelers have to fix next year.
It's going to look at time. It'll look a lot like it did at times last year.
Yeah.
Where the Seattle Seahawks game is a perfect example.
Oh my goodness.
Right. Cam Hayward and TJ Watt played phenomenal. They made the plays to win the game, but that defense also gave up 7,000 yards on the ground to Seattle.
Yep. Yep.
Same thing as the Detroit Lions game. The defense had its moments. They held them in check and kept the Steelers in that game. But the Lions also ran for 200 and some yards. That's the Jekyll and Hyde that you cannot have. You cannot be, I don't care how many times you get after the quarterback. I don't care how many turnovers you force. You cannot be an elite defense if you're getting gashed like that on the ground.
No.
You just can't do it. So you're right. I think there's a there's a real chance for this defense. And when I say this, I don't know. And now that I'm kind of thinking about it, it could be almost like I'm poo-pooing the TJ Watts and the Cam Haywards and the Mink, like the all pros.
You know that's not what you're doing.
Like, this defense could be greater than the sum of its whole. You know what I mean?
Agree.
Because if you don't have a weakness on that defense, maybe the secondary isn't elite, but Minka is. Maybe the linebacking core isn't elite, but TJ Watt is. Maybe the defensive line isn't elite, but Cam Haywards is. If you just get above average performance from everybody else, and you have some luck in the health department, something the Steelers certainly didn't have on defense last year.
They haven't had it for a while.
Then again, that's the formula. That's how you get that truly elite defense. And I think all of us, if we're sitting there in January and the Steelers are in the playoffs, so they're winning playoff games, I think we all agree that's the roadmap to get there, is that the defense has to be that good and lead the way, and you got to be able to run the ball and take care of the ball, and the offense makes enough plays, you know, when they need to win games. But it is hard to look at this team right now and just not think, not know that it all starts with the defense.
I agree with you there, man. It's been where they need to go this year, even the year after that, depending on who starts, who doesn't. It doesn't matter who starts at quarterback. This team needs to be about defense, winning with defense. And if the offense catches up, great. Then you may have one of the best teams in the NFL. I think that's part of the gamble that they have here with such a young offense. If that group figures it out while the defense is in its prime, whoo, dangerous mix for the next 4 or 5 seasons. Mm-hmm. But even if it doesn't figure it out, even if that offense is – again, look at the 49ers. Look at the Titans. These are teams that they're not prolific offenses. Granted, the Titans, you know, Derrick Henry makes them prolific, but right. they don't have a great quarterback situation and a great passing game. They have a situational, decent enough offense, and their defense was keeping them in games, and they were able to win more games like that. And if you look at the Steelers roster, I think that they have better defensive playmakers on their roster than the Niners did or the Titans have had in their recent runs through the playoffs. So that's where we stand on there. That's why the run defense is going to be a major focus. And that's why I ask if they did enough to fix it. We will certainly see in the coming months as things roll on. The Steelers OTAs are going to open up in about, I think, a week and a half or so from now. They're going to open things back up and get guys back into the facility where we'll see not just the rookies, but the veterans showing up for OTA. So that's going to be interesting. But we will keep you posted on everything here on the Locked On Steelers podcast. Thanks so much for checking us out. Thank you, Wes Euler, for joining the show. Let people find you, follow you, and get more of your work.
Yeah, Steelers Nation Radio. I host the Steelers Blitz with former linebacker Arthur Motes. You can get us in podcast form wherever you get your podcasts. Listen live at noon, iHeart, Steelers.com, your mobile apps of iHeart and the Steelers. And also, Chris, you know, speaking of minicamp and OTAs, for the next 3 weeks, right? So not this week here, but starting the last week in May. So a week from the day that you're all listening to this, the 24th of May. For 3 weeks there, last week in May, first 2 weeks in June, Motes and I are going to be broadcasting live from OTAs on SNR, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, every week from 10 a.m. to 1 o'clock. So we will be literally, I mean, you've Fancy. Seen us out there. They set up our table and our broadcast. I mean, we're right on the edge of the field where practice is. It's a great view. It's Mr. Rooney's backyard. We have a blast. We get a lot of good Steelers guests. We'll have this guy Chris Carter on with us, Brian Bacco, all of our buddies. Like I said, we get a different player usually to sit down with us for a few minutes every hour. So yeah, starting May 24th. For those 3 weeks, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, if you're looking for specific OTA and minicamp coverage, Motes and I will be on from 10 to 1. And then again, though, if you just subscribe to the Steelers Blitz podcast, you can get that all on demand on your own time as well.
Whoop, there it is. I'm excited to see it. Y'all should be excited to see it and listen to it on Steeler Nation Radio. Also, check out his Ears and Beers podcast covering West Virginia, all things WVU with the Mountaineers. Him and Adam Crowley do a great job there. Wes, thanks so much for joining us here again on the Locked On Steelers podcast. Thanks so much for checking us out, viewers and listeners. I'm Chris Carter, your host. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Carter Critiques. You can find this show on Apple, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Odyssey, and YouTube. Like this video if you saw it on YouTube. Subscribe to your YouTube channel to get all of our daily Monday through Friday episodes, as well as our bonus our breaking news updates and our bonus episodes when we are able to release those. If you want to help out the show, go on Apple Podcasts, leave us a 5-star review with a positive comment. When you do both at the same time, you get a shout out at the end of the show. Thanks again to Wes for showing up. We'll be back tomorrow with more on your Pittsburgh Steelers. We might get Tony Serino if he's available. We try to have him back on. It's been a minute. Tony needs to give us his new jersey, the rookie jersey number rankings, because, you know, he's got his breakdowns on that. We'll hopefully have him on Wednesday. So check us out then. Until then, Steelers fans, stay tuned.